services leading up to Christmas, we have been focusing on three of more than 300 Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. All three are found in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. In verse 2, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that a light has dawned when Jesus came. And then in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, a child is born. We looked at that yesterday, and the focus was really upon the humanity of Jesus. And this evening, also in verse 6, for the next few moments, we're going to look at the fact that a son is given. Prophesied over 700 years before the birth of Christ, fulfilled in his birth and life. You know, the child that was born was a son given to us as a gift by the Father. He was both the Son of Man, he was fully human, as well as the Son of God, he was fully divine. Have you ever wondered why Jesus came when he did? The Apostle Paul really answers that for us. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the time set by who? Set by God, had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." How did He come? Certainly, He came in a way that we would have never expected Him to make His appearance upon the scene of human history. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Let's go now to the Gospel of Luke in one of the birth narratives. I want to read just a few verses there for you. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Tells a story. We don't have time to look at the whole story, but we're just going to take a look at part of the story. "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While he was there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him." One writer describes this scene this way: Jesus coming into becoming a human. He writes, "The creator of the universe became an embryo." A few moments ago, we took an offering for Abigail's Women's Center, and the reason we took that offering is to make sure embryos come to a place of birth. And this is a wonderful ministry in the area that does that. But think of the creator of the universe becoming an embryo. He who sustained the world with a word chose to become dependent on the nourishment of a young girl. God is a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. And when he was born, the hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. They were the hands of a carpenter. If it were not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. If it wasn't for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts that would have been brought. The miracle of the child that was born. I love the way John describes it in his first chapter of his gospel in verse 14. He said, "The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." As we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion in just a moment, I would like to look at just one verse of Scripture that emphasized God becoming the Son. You know, this one verse is a powerful verse. It's probably the best known verse in all of the Bible. It's interesting that really Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter all converge in this one verse of Scripture. And you may already know the one I'm referring to. It's John chapter 3. And verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Do you see it there? There is Christmas there. There is Good Friday there. There is Easter there. Even all of the festivals, and especially Passover in the Old Testament, all converges into this one verse. Again, the most famous, most often quoted verse in all the Word of God. The entire Bible is really summarized in 26 words. You know, in John chapter 3, verse 16, there's a number of things that we see. First of all, we see in this verse the greatest love. For God so loved the world. I want you to let those words sink in. For God so loved the world. God loves the whole world, not just one people, not just one nation, not just good people, not just respectable people. He loves all people. He loves the whole world. Augustine described it this way: God loves each one of us as if there is only one of us. Aren't you thankful that God loves us that way? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul praying for this church, these believers at Ephesus, we just a real glimpse into a prayer that he prayed there. He prayed for them and for us that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, listen to this, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. His love is wide enough for the whole world. His love is long enough to pursue us. I love the stories, I'm sure you do, of the story of the prodigal son. The love of the father continued to pursue him. His love is high enough. His love is deep enough. Maybe you feel like, hey, I've really gone deep in my life. I've really failed in my life. I want you to know that the love of Christ can go deeper still and can lift you up. So in John chapter 3, verse 16, we see the greatest love, but we also see there the greatest sacrifice, that he gave his one and only son. Paul writes that the wages of sin is death. You know, Jesus could have come into this world as a judge to pass sentence on every single one of us, and he would have been right in doing that. He could have easily just come into the world as a judge. But in love, he came into the world as a Savior and died on the cross, taking your place and mine. Romans 5:8 describes it this way: but God demonstrates his own love for us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There may be times that you don't feel the love of God, but there never need to be a time when you doubt it. Always remember that God gave his one and only son for you. A son is given. But then comes our part, and that is the greatest invitation, that whosoever believes in him. You know, belief is a key concept in the Gospel of John. The word means to believe is true, to trust, to place one's confidence in. You know, it's really amazing the way the whole world celebrates the birth of Jesus. And all the things that we do to get ready for Christmas Day, oftentimes not a lot of it's really about him. I mean, the parking lots and stores and malls are packed. There are long lines. We stopped by just yesterday by a grocery store to pick up some last-minute items. And my goodness, the place was packed. Every register was open. There were long lines. There were reindeer outside and people waiting to get their picture taken with Santa Claus. And so oftentimes we just commercialize Christmas when it's all about him. It's all about what he has done for us, that whosoever believeth in him. Again, to believe is to believe is true, to trust, to place one's confidence in. My prayer tonight is that your faith and your trust and your confidence is in Jesus Christ. Here Jesus links what God has done to what we must do. we have to open our hearts. We have to receive Him. Romans 10:9 describes it this way: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says you will be saved. You know, if a person chooses to reject the invitation of John chapter 3, verse 16, then the last half of verse 18 applies. Listen to that. It says, whosoever believes in Him or Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. A Son is given, and when He is received, He brings to us the greatest gift. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I mingled with people before the service, I asked a number of them, well, did you celebrate Christmas today? Are you doing it tonight? Are you doing it tomorrow? Some people have already opened their presents. Some are opening their presents after the service this evening. Some are doing that tomorrow. We're doing that tomorrow after our Christmas dinner. But I can tell you, whether you've opened your presents or not, there's no gift that you could ever get greater than the gift of Christ, greater than the gift that He brings into your life, greater than forgiveness of sin and assurance of eternal life. It's salvation, it's grace. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that it's not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift that you can't work hard enough to earn. And so many people are trying to earn what only they can receive as a gift. You can't be good enough for you to be able to deserve that gift. And listen, you can't be religious enough to acquire it. On this Christmas Eve, God extends His love through His Son. In Him we see the greatest love, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest invitation, and the greatest gift. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. But there's another part of that prophecy that Isaiah gave. It says, and he will be called. And these are not all the names that Jesus has, but those that Isaiah emphasized. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. No better counselor than Him. A Wonderful Counselor. Maybe your life tonight is not wonderful. Well, I want you to know He is a Wonderful Counselor. You look to Him and He can change your life. It says that He is the mighty God. No matter what you're facing, He's greater than whatever you may be facing in your life. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, when Isaiah wrote those words, it's very clear that this Messiah, this Jesus, is no ordinary child. For unto us a child is born, and thank God a son is given. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You tonight for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Through Him, as we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, we discover the greatest love, for God so loved the world, the greatest sacrifice that He gave His Son, the greatest invitation that whosoever would believe in Him, and the greatest gift would receive eternal life.